Good evening. Glad everybody could make it back on this beautiful Lord's Day. I'd like to welcome any visitors that we may have. Also remember Lucas and Kurt back there in the back, who are our new brothers in Christ. They obeyed the gospel this morning, so make sure you get to talk to them. But this evening I want to talk about a topic that is very much so alive in our culture today, and that's lust. Lust is a killer. Lust can kill and destroy marriages, relationships of any kind, and it can put a strain on, most importantly, our relationship with God. And if lust is not dealt with, it can lead to other sins. You know, we think about how far our world has gone and advanced in technology. We carry around with us many computers, and that's what they are, cell phones. And you're one click away from finding anything you want. All you have to do is think it, and you'll find it. And it's a very dangerous thing because people use it to fulfill what they desire. And lust is no different. Lust will lead to things like pornography, to even adultery. And once again, it's a topic that needs to be talked about. It's not just among the young minds, the teenagers, but as well, older folks struggle with it as well. And so when we look at this text in Matthew 5, first thing we need to understand is, what is lust? I've heard sermons on lust, and I've heard some people have these views that, hey, if someone lusts, if your husband or wife lusts, you have the right to divorce. But let's talk about that for a second. So what is lust? So Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 27. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So we know that lust, epithemeo, which means desire, long for. So we long for someone, we desire someone, male, female, and we want them. And it starts here in the heart. This is the heart that is spoken of in Scripture. When he speaks of the heart, he's not speaking of the heart that's beating in us. It all starts right here in the mind, heart. We lust, we think, we ponder on that individual that we want. And lust isn't necessarily all about the sexual desires, but also wanting just worldly things in general, lusting after different things. But when we look here within the context, it is within the context of sexual desires. And so we see at the beginning, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. So when we look at the word adultery, which is makeo, which means to commit adultery with, to debauch, debauchery. Luke chapter 16, verse 18. Everyone who divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery. And he who marries a woman who is divorced from a husband commits adultery. Now, when we look at divorce, we know in Matthew 19, Christ is very clear. The only reason that you are to divorce is on the grounds of sexual immorality, adultery. We know sexual immorality is sex outside of marriage, premarital sex. And we know that, once again, if you're committing sexual immorality within your marriage, you are bringing another party into your marriage. And so, adultery. Once again, lust starts here, but it can lead to other things that are not good and will kill a marriage and will kill your own soul. Now, once again, we cannot divorce on the grounds of lust, because if we look before, earlier on in the same text, in Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 21, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be guilty before the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be guilty before the Sanhedrin. And whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Those who are angry with their brother, what does he say? But I say, whoever is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. Now, we know when you look at anger and murder, it always starts with being angry with someone, doesn't it? You know, I've seen so many road rage videos where they've ended badly. Anger can lead you to explore further with other things that are not any better. Anger can lead to murder. We've seen it. We see it in our world plenty today. And so when we look at lust, when we look at anger, these sins, and they are sins, they start here in the heart. But if we allow them to remain, if we allow them to grow and sprout roots into our heart, into our life, it can lead to other sins. And it will. And so the question we need to answer is how to handle lust. How are we to handle it? Well, good news for all of you and for me. Christ tells us here in Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 29, how to do it, how to deal with it. So verse 29 here of chapter 5 of Matthew, but if your right eye causes you to stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than your whole body to go into hell. This is where it gets hard. Because when you look at addicts, and we do have addicts who are addicted to not drugs, but things like pornography, things like sexual addictions overall, they will find a way around to get what they want. That's how addicts are. And so what is one solution? Cut the source off. Cut off what is causing you to stumble. That's the first step we must do. We must cut off. Whatever it may be, entertainment, we know our entertainment industry today in this world, it's filthy. A lot of it is. There's good entertainment, absolutely. You can find it if you're looking for it. My wife and I, we watch shows like Andy Griffith, Beverly Hillbillies, and we, you know, even The Chosen, which is a good show. It's clean. But we try to find things that are clean, that are good for Christians to see, to watch. Music's filthy today, a lot of it. And even a lot of our favorite country songs are filthy, if you understand the lyrics and what they're saying. Cut off all music that's filthy, that may make you stumble. Video games, literature, all these things that are not well, that you know will cause you to lust and then fall into other sins. It's so important. And a lot of these people will say, okay, I'll go cut all of this off. But it seems like they always find a way around. Now, I've met people who are stubborn. And I, you know, as a teenager, I was stubborn. I did not listen to wise advice. What teenager does? We get in our minds that we know it all. And my parents humbled me a few times. Made me realize, you're not as smart as you think you are. But these individuals are stubborn and they will not listen. But once again, if you cut the things off, and it doesn't include just things, but people. People can cause us to stumble. When we surround ourselves with worldly people, guess what? It's not going to help the situation. It's not going to help with the sin we struggle with, especially when we know these group of people do the same thing. We know we're going to be put in a situation we don't need to be in. So cut them out. Cut people and cut things out that will cause you to stumble. Because here's a question, who do you love more? Do you love Christ? Do you want to obey Him? John 14, 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Or do you love that sin more than Christ? That's what you have to decide. That's the question you need to answer and decide on. Because as we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 14, we should never be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has a sanctuary of God with idols? For we are a sanctuary of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord. And do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. We all know about the Corinthians, what they struggled with. Sexual sin was prevalent within the church there in Corinth. And here is Paul trying to tell them, no more. Get rid of the one from among you who is in this act of sexual sin. Withdraw from them. Because once again, sin is like cancer. It spreads. When people see that the elders and deacons do not handle an individual in sin biblically, they're going to start thinking, you know what? If they can get away with it, then we can. It must be right. There must be nothing wrong with it. That is no longer a church when that idea starts flowing. When sin is prevalent within the church. When it is allowed to run rampant inside the church. Now, of course, when we look at going out into the world, of course, people are dressed and modestly. And that's a big thing because people who struggle with lust, I can't really tell you to go up to them like, get out of here. You don't belong in here. You can't do that. But there are ways around it. There are ways to combat it, and we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. But another thing that we need to do to be able to handle lust, one must learn to control their body and mind, their body and heart. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passion like the Gentiles who do not know God. We have to take back control of our minds, our hearts. There was a preacher at PTP, and he did a wonderful job talking about controlling. We can control what we are thinking about. We have that ability. We can control. But do you desire to control it? Do you desire to have within your heart Scripture, the Word of God? Or do you desire God is what it comes down to? Once again, we must take back control. Because when you allow your eyes to see things that they shouldn't. Now, once again, I have a brother. He's a preacher down in West Virginia. And he has a wife. They have three kids. When they walk around the supermarket, she has a code word that she will say when she sees someone dressed inappropriately. When she says that word, they look down. And of course, they're holding on to her because she's leading. That's a great way to handle it. Have an accountability partner. That's a big thing. Having another brother or sister in Christ be an accountability partner. Someone you can go to and say, I struggle. I struggle with lust. I can't overcome it. I need help. I need someone to be there for me. Such an important thing. To help you take back control. And of course, there are apps within our world today, good apps. One such is Covenant Eyes. It's a good one. You put it on all your devices. And your accountability partner, when you try to look up something you shouldn't, is emailed and told so-and-so tried to look at something they shouldn't be. We have ways to defeat lust. We have ways to handle it. But it all comes down to, are you willing to handle it. Because the next thing is a big one that we really need to do is flee from it. Flee from it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 18. Flee sexual immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral man sins against his own body. These are one of two sins that Paul talks about fleeing from. The other one, fleeing from youthful passions, fleeing from idolatry. When you see the word flee in front of a sin, take it seriously. Once again, our world is over-sexualized. Everything from commercials, even I remember years ago a bubble gum commercial. Five gum, I don't know if you chew it. Five gum. I could tell what they were doing with the commercial. If you have an IQ over 60, you know what they're trying to do. Bubble gum. Once again, flee from it. You know, I tell young people and even older people, you start feeling those desires, go for a run. Get out, go for a run. Not even to run, just find something to do around the house to take your mind off it. Get away from the phone, get away from the TV, go do something, go read, go do something. Because when we look at these next two examples, one's a bad example of what not to do, and the other is what to do. So 2 Samuel chapter 11, starting in verse 2. Now when evening came, David arose from his bed and walked around on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful in appearance. So David sent and inquired about the woman. And one said, "Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" Then David sent messengers and took her. And she came to him, and he lay with her. And when she had purified herself from her uncleanness, she returned to her house. Here's an example of what not to do. David, who was a king, David, who should have been out at war with his men instead of remaining back at the kingdom, he's sitting on his roof. He sees a very beautiful woman bathing. Both are really at fault for what has happened. I remember talking to a couple, and they were saying Bathsheba couldn't have said no to him. Oh, she could have. She could have said no to David. No, I'm married. Just because he's king, yeah, he could have taken her life. He is king. But who's the king of kings? God is. Both fell into this sin, adultery. But this wouldn't be the only sin. David would panic. David would bring Uriah back when he found out Bathsheba was pregnant with his child. He tried to cover it up, trying to get Uriah to go, come back, get him drunk, and go lay with his wife. Go sleep with his wife. Didn't work. So what did he do? I got to cover this up. He murdered Uriah. Innocent man in all of this. A man who was out to war, one of his generals, fighting for the kingdom. The other example, which is a good example, Genesis chapter 39, starting in verse 7. And it happened after these events that his master's wife set her eyes on Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house, and he has given all that he owns into my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, and he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God?" So it happened that as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he did not listen to her, to lie beside her or be with her. Now it happened one day that he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the household was there inside. Then she seized him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and went outside. Joseph here, who was just bad bad times, gets sold by his own brothers, flesh and blood, into slavery, brought to Egypt. But because he is faithful, God helps him succeed in this land. And here he is, Potiphar's house, over top of all of it. But Potiphar's wife sees Joseph. Joseph, who was good looking, wants to lie with him. But Joseph, being a faithful man of God, how can I do this great evil and sin against God? I was thinking about this passage, wondering how many men and women in this situation would have failed. But once again, Joseph, having a strong mind, knowing the law of Moses, understanding, I want to obey God, overcame it, and he fled. Now we see that he's treated unjustly. She lies. But once again, because of his faithfulness, God's with him, and God helps him succeed. And I kind of wondered, when he became the second most powerful man in all of Egypt, if Potiphar and his wife were still a part of the kingdom. We don't know. We don't have record of it. Lust is a big enemy in many Christians' lives. We know the world's full of it, but there are Christians who struggle with this. And it is hard to overcome. That's why we see Paul tell, because it does lead into sexual immorality. It leads into adultery. I remember the Ashley Madison thing that happened when the website was leaked, all the names. Actually, there was a Church of Christ minister that was on the site. Ended up taking his own life, sadly, because of the shame and guilt. It's an enemy. It's a sin that needs to be put to rest. But the only way is you have to be willing to overcome it. You have to be willing to cut things and people out. You have to be willing to flee from it. You have to be willing to control, take back control of your heart, your mind. If you're not, you will never overcome it. You will never overcome lust. You will never overcome sexual immorality. You will never overcome adultery. But the next thing you need to do is repent. Godly sorrow will lead one to true repentance. Lust is a killer, and it will take your soul. It will lead you straight to hell if not dealt with. This evening, if you're not a Christian, understand, yes, God loves you and nothing can separate you from the love of God. But if you are in sin, if you are lost, you are separated from God. You are not His. But you can be His. And this is how you do it. You must hear the word and believe the word. Then you must repent of your sins, change one's mind. Then you must confess your faith in Christ Jesus. But it doesn't stop there like so many teach. You must be baptized for the remission of your sins. You must be immersed. And it is through baptism which you are buried. Your old self, your old sinful self is buried, gone, done away with. And the blood of Christ comes over and washes you clean, white as snow. And when you raise up out of the water, you are walking in newness of life. But it doesn't stop there. You must remain faithful. And that means cutting off people and things that you were once involved with. Cut them out of your life, because you no longer are that same man, that same woman. You are now a child of God. Or if you are a Christian and you do struggle with lust, or you struggle with any sin, now's the time to deal with it. Now's the time to allow the church to help you, to assist you. We're not here to make fun of you. We're not here to scold you. We are here to help you. We are here to pray with you, to encourage you, to lift you up. But you must be willing to come forward and repent of your sins and renew your walk with Christ. Once again, if anyone here tonight needs any assistance, know the church loves you and wants to help you. So tonight, if you need any assistance, come while we stand and while we sing.